American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's another good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you for the Internet from Tuesday, April 12, 2005. If you listen really closely there, you'll notice that I said I'm reporting to you for the Internet from Tuesday, April 12th, which is not really necessarily a bad thing, but that's something that could be done. This is Newsreel, your source for independent media news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you right at this very moment. And you can read all the news stories by going along with me to my LiveJournal. And eventually I'll learn how to speak. Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com is where you go to follow along with the news stories, and you will find all the lovely, lovely news stories, as well as some very poignant and thoughtful notions that I will put on my LiveJournal, which you can feel free to comment on or what have you. And you'll notice that I never ever comment on my LiveJournal, because quite honestly, I do view that as a journal, and I don't think of it as a forum. But, you know, I enjoy what people have to say, and I do actually read it. However, I don't respond to anything that's said there. Otherwise, well, I'd be doing it all day long. And you know that I'd get sucked into a flame war, because I'm liable to do that sort of thing. So I am now going to commence with the rest of the show, which, of course, is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, and WNY Media Network. It's available on all radio stations everywhere that are worth a damn. If it doesn't have Newsreel on it, chances are it's not worth a damn. And if you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit, if you think your radio station is worth a damn and you want to carry Newsreel, well, don't worry, because we have a very affordable plan for you people to come along and just broadcast the show, and the plan is free. You can dig and broadcast it for free, and that's really free, not like, you know, mislaid free, like a pretend free, like a fake free, like a core political free, where it actually costs you everything that you've ever had or ever could have and things of that nature. No, this is well and truly, honest to God, wouldn't lie to you, Sean Kennedy guaranteed, free, and you can do whatever you want with it you see fit. Going straight back into some feedback today, we got Dear Sean, I've been listening to your shows for a long time, and have loved them all. They love me. They really love me. But I'm curious about how you do Newsreel. Well, I'm curious about how I do Newsreel, too. Particularly where you're facing when you record. I know it sounds strange, but when you've had Sim as a guest, the show flows so smooth because you guys are playing off each other in a conversation. But in your solo shows, you still have a nice, smooth dialogue. So I'm wondering, who are you kind of talking to when you record Newsreel? Well, the answer, and that's from The Grey Ghost. Well, the answer, Grey Ghost, and incidentally, The Grey Ghost was the name of the first motorcycle that was in North America, I believe, and that was why it's called The Grey Ghost. But anyway, I think that, who do I talk to? Generally, it's the dog. Yeah, I sit Ranger down and I yell at him for an hour. No, honestly, I'm not really talking to anyone. I've had a couple other emails asking, saying, wow, you know, how do you do your show? If you're out there in your broadcasting land and you want to know how to avoid doing, bad things, you want to, avoid doing, what I'm doing, right now, is where you say, every 10 seconds, that's something you want to avoid. So what I try to do is I try to have this, and you'll notice this if you listen to my broadcasting, I'll have this set of words where I'll be like, anyways, moving right along, and I'll like kind of circle around and get back on track. So it sounds very smooth, but that's just because I've been doing it for 6 years, and I've had people like Sim and Smokehouse and everybody ragging on me whenever I screw up. So it's a practice makes perfect thing, and thank you so much just for even noticing that the show is smooth. Oh, they love me. They really love me. Okay, well, on to sort yourself out. Hey, Sean. Hi. It's me again. So I just thought I bought the lock blade, a blade lock. Sorry, let's try that again. I just bought the Blade Lock 2 from CRKT. Just wondering if it tells me I have to lubricate the blade pivot area with Brake Free CLP and use a tough cloth for the blade. I phoned Canadian Tire, Sears, Home Hardware, House of Knives, and can't find. When I went to Brake Free's website, They have a list of stores that once at Walmart, but I guess it's American Walmart because I phone Walmart too, and I'm going to go to Dave's Army Service Center. If anyone there knows, I'll probably buy something. All right. Well, I hope to find a solution soon. Help me out if you can. And that's from Anorexic Pillow. Okay, well, now, whenever you buy a knife, which is an interesting thing for Sergio Selva because I'm a bit of a blade freak, you must understand that they will tell you to buy a number of things to care for the knife because that is their job. They wish to sell additional, it's add-on sales, okay? And it's kind of unfortunate these people who are merchants, okay, these merchants are not field-tested people. They don't, you don't need three different kinds of, product in order to, you know, get your knife together. The advantage, because when you buy a higher quality made knife like CRKT, first of all, whenever you clean the knife, you should be cleaning the knife once a week. When you clean the knife, what you do, the goal here is to get all the goop and crap and various corruption off of your knife. So what you do is you completely disassemble your knife, and I mean take all the screws out, disassemble the entire knife. This is what I do, and it's worked for me just fine. You go get some good old-fashioned tried and true WD-40, and everybody will be like, no, you don't, shut up. You get some tried and true WD-40. You spray it on the blade while it's disassembled. You then clean the blade using the WD-40. And the oils that are there, you dry the blade off as best you can so that it doesn't get any oil on your fingers. And that provides a very microfilm layer of protection on the blade. You do not need CLP. CLP has micro tiny bits of Teflon in there, which is great if you're working weapons and actions and things like that, but you don't need to use CLP. You don't need to use a tough cloth. Just use a regular everyday rag and a little bit of WD-40, and you'll be doing along fine. Don't go spending a whole bunch of money. You already spent some good money to get yourself a very affordable and high-grade quality knife, which CRKT makes, Columbia River Knife and Tool. I enjoy those guys a lot. I've given a number of their knives as gifts. I think they're very good knives, and I would recommend it to anyone who's interested right now. If they're like, geez, you know, shit's getting really hairy, I might want to pick myself up a knife. Well, if you're in that market, I would recommend, if you're going to go for a folder, I personally recommend a CRKT Casper Crawford, because I find that to be a very, it's smaller, it's meaty enough that it's useful, and it's a decent knife, it's a good starter knife, and it lets you know what's, you know, going on in the knife world. Now, if You mustn't buy it just on my say-so. You must go out and make sure that you hold the knife in your hand. Don't just look at it online and buy it. You know, you want to actually hold it in your hand, make sure it's the right knife for you. Otherwise, well, it's useless, right? If it doesn't feel right, I don't care what the specs say. You know, it's no good. And I'm moving straight into the news here, so I hope that helps you out with the knife question there. But moving into the news now, it seems that I, SKTFM himself, just slipped under the wire. Yes, after CTV named Captain's Quarters on their news program last night, the site got swarmed with tens of thousands of visitors, April 4th, 2005. A U.S. website has breached the publication ban on Montreal ad executives' explosive and damning testimony at a federal sponsorship inquiry. This is in Canada. Where our government is completely fucked and has been siphoning cash. It's bigger than Watergate. It's totally brutal. The U.S. blogger riled the Gormley Commission during the weekend by posting extracts of testimony given in secret Thursday by John Brault. Well, if he got access to it, that tells me your security is poo. The American blog, Captain's Quarters, being promoted by All News Canadian website, boasts Canada's corruption scandal breaks wide open and promises more to come. The owner of the Canadian website refused to comment yesterday. Smart move, guy. Inquiry official Francois Perrault voiced shock at the publication ban breach and said that the commission co-counsel Bernard Roy and Justice John Gormley will decide today whether to charge the Canadian website owner with contempt of court. We never thought someone would violate a publication ban. You are totally not connected to reality, said Perrault. Maybe we were more confident than we should have been. Maybe, huh? In an age of instant communication and of greater freedom of the press, one would think this kind of publication ban would be obviously proved futile, especially when dealing with the kind of corruption that Gormley Commission is investigating. However, if Perrault is to be believed, no one even considered the notion that someone might talk. Either M. Perrault is hopelessly naive, or he gets the Captain Louis Renault Award for being shocked. Shocked that free speech goes on in a democracy. Now, that is amazing to me, that the people are like, you can't talk about this. Bull fucking shit. Who are you? Now, this is the interesting thing about authority. Now, granted, I have a problem with authority. Oh, come right out and say it. You bet. Got a big problem with authority. I don't like people placing themselves above me in a hierarchy position. I don't enjoy that. I don't think it's cool. I don't think it's great. I don't really want to bend my knee to anyone. I will bend my knee to who I choose to, and the only person I bend my knee to is to my wife. Thank you very the fuck much, because my wife is my God. So that's how it works. So, and that's my choice. You know, everyone, some people pray to rocks. Some people, you know, worship dead guys on sticks. Some people worship, you know, frogs, trees, tribal, antimatter, whatever. Me, I'm into my wife. That's what I do. Now, you got to wonder, when you have authority being handed out by the government, they just expect us to do whatever they don't talk about this. Fuck you, guy. Fuck you, okay? You collect my taxes and you spend it on bullshit. Okay, the controlling... There's no faith in the government in North America anymore. No one actually believes in the fucking government anymore. And if you do believe in your government, you are one naive motherfucker. Okay, even the government doesn't believe in the government anymore. That's why in the service, everywhere, everybody knows this, they refer to the game, playing the game, gotta play the game. There's this big game that government, people who work in the government are aware of and that they all kind of play. And the game is the bullshit merry-go-round. Now, granted, maybe it's the best system we got, and it still sucks ass, but it's better than all the other systems, and that said. But don't go trying to stop freedom of speech and freedom of expression with these outdated ideas of government, because quite obviously we've been using the same government structure and policy for, well, at least the last 200 years. Well, let's just think about how much society's changed in the last 200 years, shall we? Let's just consider the last, oh, I don't know, 60 years. And consider how much technology has changed and whether or not our current governmental system is up to fucking speed. I put it to you that it is quite clearly not. And although I also broke the publication ban by telling people information about a massively corrupt government, you know, I don't think I need to be told to shush. As a matter of fact, I think I would be more liable if I listened to people who told me to be quiet. So if it makes me a bad person for passing on information and talking to people in the world about the corruption that my government has within it, then I guess you can put me in the prison, give me the microchip, and I will be, you know, a yellow means death, and so on and so forth. But you can bank, if that happens, well, my number one goal will be to what? Escape, just like any other prisoner of war. And if you don't think there's a war going on, if they haven't declared war on privacy and war on individual rights, then you've got another thing coming. Everybody's freaking out over the war on terrorism. They're jumping millions of dollars, $16 million they dumped into an exercise going on inside of, Arizona right now? They still have volunteers running along. No, it wasn't Arizona. There's a military operation called Top Off, which is an exercise prepared for massive terrorist strike on American soil. $16 million they're dumping into this, yet they still can't seem to get their shit together with the Minutemen in Arizona. Okay, and on top of all this, it's only a small crack in the spaceship. Since the loss of the Columbia, Spaceship Columbia 2003, thousands of people have spent the last 2 years working to make the spaceship a safer vehicle. That labor inched closer to payoff Wednesday afternoon when Discovery, with its two solid rocket boosters and external fuel tank attached to its belly, rolled out to the Vehicle Assembly Building, VAB, at 2:04 Eastern Daylight Time for a four-mile journey to the launch pad at Kennedy Space Center at Cape Canaveral, Florida. I've been there, and it's really cool there. No, I lied. I have not been to the Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral, Florida. I have been to the one in Texas. However, I wonder what Eastern Daylight Time is. That what that is? EDT? What is that? 204 PM? Maybe. A crawler transporter, which is EDB, moved the shuttle to pad 39B. Well, it will sit until launch no earlier than May 15th. The rollout was delayed for a little more than 2 hours when a crack in the fuel tank's insulation was found. Let me read that again. When a crack in the fuel tank's insulation was found, a crack in the fuel tank insulation, that's the shit they use to keep the fuel, the rocket fuel, separate because it's insulated. NASA concluded that the crack near a non-cryogenic low-temperature area was a minor imperfection and did not need repair. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the rocket fuel on the fuel tank of a spaceship, is that not kind of a big deal? I mean, I'm sorry, but if I was on a fucking spaceship and they start telling me there's hairline fractures around the fuel tank, that's the point when you stop and kind of, you know, take a big step back and decide, you know, hey, maybe we should fix the crack in the fuel tank. Like, Scotty wouldn't let cracks in the fuel tank go. No one would let cracks in the fuel tank go, but apparently NASA seems to think these cracks in the fuel tanks go. Okay, well, I've got some fucking points for you guys. I hope to God that the space shuttle takes off and lands without a problem. I hope Discovery makes it just fine. Because if it doesn't make it just fine, if you launch because it can safely fly because you think it's as is because of the small size and location of the crack, that's fine. That's fine. But you will wear this. You will fucking wear this if anything goes wrong. You found a flaw, and if anything goes wrong, I don't care what anybody says, there's a flaw on that craft which you are sending into fucking space. Okay? Space, which is by far the great unknown, you know, space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the USS Discovery, which has apparently got a crack in its fucking fuel tank and is going to take off anyway. Personally, I think NASA is so underfunded, it is disgusting how underfunded NASA is. It's an embarrassment to the free world. It is an embarrassment to the United States. It's an embarrassment to every single taxpayer in the United States that we have a space program that is bold and noble and embodies all the higher ideals of every culture around the world. You know, it is the NASA. NASA is really, if there was going to be something I would put to the forefront of what should take over the role of the church in our culture, rather than being a money-driven culture, maybe we should be an exploration-driven culture where we make sex symbols out of scientists and decide that people who are really trying to benefit the forwarding of mankind, maybe those people really matter a little bit more than, say, oh, I don't know, Paris Hilton? Just a thought, you know? So I hope to God and Godspeed to everyone on the Discovery, because if that thing blows up, oh baby. Oh baby. I mean, it's pretty much probably going to spell the end for NASA, because, but again, it's not really their fault, because the people at NASA are some of the coolest fucking people I've ever met in my life, period, bar none. And they really get the blue marble concept. I'm a big, if you haven't been to NASA, if you haven't got a chance, if you live near there, if you live within an 8-hour drive of a space center, go there. Go there, donate a couple of bucks to those people, because they don't get anything from the government. If we were to just stop spending for a little while, God knows what we'd discover. But the last thing that our current administration wants to do is disprove the existence of God, because he himself is a card-carrying psycho-Christian. So, well, I shouldn't call him a psycho-Christian, just because he wants to turn off all the abortion laws and believes in the end times doesn't really mean he's crazy, does it? I mean, he's the president, right? Anyways. Moving right along, FUD or fun? Now, this is a gizmo. You've seen this before. I got to cover it on the show because there's a guy who's got one. And he told me he's got it, and it's pretty cool. I thought it was probably just crap, like it probably didn't even work. But he says it does. He says it's kind of neat. And I think it'd be a great gift if you've got anyone who's going overseas to Iraq or something like that. This is an ideal gift to give someone, and it's pretty cheap. FUD or fun? Carried everywhere you go. The nuke alert. 24/7 constant monitoring. You'll always be prompted or alerted to the unseen but acutely dangerous levels of radiation if it were present. What this is, a little gizmo. Looks like a sampling tag you put on your keychain. And if you get near any kind of radiation, we're talking Twilight 2000 here. If you get near any contaminated zones, it starts going tweet, 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 tweet. Now, for a soldier going to Iraq, especially with the shit that's going on over that way, or even people living in Taiwan, maybe it might be an idea for you to get one of these things to put on their dog tag chains, because it's cool, guys like it, and it may just save their ass. Little things like that, you know, oh, hey, nuke levels are really high here, oh, whatever, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it does fucking matter. Well, you got your orders. Okay, I got my orders, but I'm going to avoid these highly toxic nuclear areas so I can have children later and not have them look like flipper babies. Just a thought. So, you know, this is a neat device. They're about $80. The benefit of nuke alert, not to be overlooked, is that it will confirm when and where the higher levels of radiation are not present, as well as present. See, aren't you glad you could be just like me? All you got to do is talk to nobody and go slowly mad in your room. With an anticipated general public angst, and perhaps even panic, accompanying any future development nuclear emergency. Yeah, if anything, there's going to be something that causes an emergency. Never mind a shark attack. Nuclear bombs freak people out. Okay, this will be very assuring to know with confidence for your locale that your family is out of the worst of danger, too. Now, granted, this whole ad and the website that I've linked to looks like it was designed by a 12-year-old, but it is a neat gizmo, and I think it might be kind of cool. I'd buy one if I had an extra $80. What the hell? And apparently, they work, but it would be a really good gift for the boys overseas. And granted, yes, you know, ooh, look, a large bright light burning out my retinas. No, this device isn't going to help you there, because you'll see the large cascading wall of fire extending on the horizon from left to right, and that will indicate to you that there has been, in fact, a nuke strike. But if there's fallout, if there's depleted uranium shells, if somebody's let go a dirty bomb, if there's some toxic waste buried nearby, if there's toxic waste in trucks. It's always just handy to know when there's shit like radiation that can fucking kill you. So maybe you should know about that kind of stuff. And hey, for an $80 keychain, what the hell? Now, here's a call. This story here. Now, you got to be careful with left-wing press. You got to be careful with left-wing press. Some people say, Sean's a war hawk. I get called everything in the book. I get called right-wing. I get called left-wing. I like to think of myself as a pretty good journalist because, I make my own opinions. First of all, got to bear that in mind. I mean, there's that be it good, be it bad, I do make up my own mind. Second of all, I make mistakes all the time. So that's another good sign because anybody who can admit their mistakes means that they have the benefit of being able to learn and grow, which is something we need to develop inside of our school system instead of having a failure-based culture. But I digress. What's your call on this particular story? Orange County Sheriff Kevin Beery has a vast array of computers designed to track down terrorists and criminals, or a Winter Park mother of four. Now, I love the way this whole article, of course, isn't even journalism. This is just completely slanted. But anyway, so he tracked this woman down, upset at being described as too fat for basic police work, which that's a hell of a thing to say. That's pretty insulting. Beery ordered his staff to use restricted records to find the woman who also criticized his agency's use of stun gun in a letter to the editor. He then fired off a letter scolding Alice Goronsky, a 35-year-old registered Republican. I recently read your slanderous remarks in the Orange County Sheriff's Office in the Orlando Sentinel, Beery wrote on March 23rd. It is unfortunate that people ridicule others without arming themselves with the facts before they slander law enforcement agency, a law enforcement agency or an individual. Okay, wow, that's pretty strongly worded. No, it's not. The letter caught Goronsky of Winter Park by surprise. Oh shit, a letter! And she wonders whether Beery broke the laws that protect the public's privacy. Okay, but he didn't do anything. All he did was write you a letter. I thought I was exercising my First Amendment rights of free speech. Well, what about Goronsky's rights? Expressing an opinion in an open forum about a paid public official. Okay, well, you're a mother of four, and you don't know shit about law enforcement, but yeah, you got the right to voice your opinion. Goronsky said Tuesday, saying she considered Beery's letter a form of intimidation. Okay, you need to toughen the fuck up. If you think if his letter was a form of intimidation, it's no greater or worse than you publicizing in a newspaper. You think he's too fat for police work. That is a form of intimidation. She also suspected Beery had snooped in restricted records. We suspected Beery had snooped in... Oh, you don't have confirmation of that. In restricted records, he addressed her as Alice Elizabeth Goronsky, using a middle name that appears only on her driver's license. Dun, dun, dun! Well, who gives a fuck? Using that database to obtain personal information, except for clear law enforcement purposes, has been state and federal crime since 2000, where the U.S. Supreme Court upheld Constitutional Driver's Privacy Protection Act of 1994. Now, it's going to go on and on, and privacy advocates are freaking out. La, la, la. It's particularly disturbing that someone who has a leadership role in information sharing does not seem to appreciate the crucial importance of privacy control, said Jim Tensi of the Center for Democracy and Technology in Washington, D.C. Any of these systems will be undermined if they won't have the public trust. They won't deserve the public trust and the public funding unless they have controls to protect against the misuse. The sheriff's office stated in writing Tuesday that it acted within the law. The sheriff's spokesman, Jim Solomon, said responding to a resident's concern is well within Beery's official duties. Now this, to me, this whole fucking story, correct me if I'm wrong, but does this whole thing look a lot like an IRC flame war to you? He's too fat for police work. Hey man, he sends him a letter. Lady, I don't appreciate you saying that. Now, personally, I'm with the sheriff on this particular one. The guy gets totally slammed because, some mom of four who doesn't know shit about shit, okay, starts going off about tasers and stuff. Meanwhile, she doesn't have the first fucking bit of training or the first clue about tasers. Me, I'm all for the tasers. Give the cops as many tasers as they want. Cops have a very hard fucking job. Their job is to put bad people in jail. Despite the fact that we work very hard to make as many laws as we can to tie the cops down so they can't actually do their job. Because we assume that all cops are in fact evil. Criminals are innocent until proven guilty. Cops, oh shit yeah, we hate them. We hate them because we're angry with our society. We hate cops because we're angry with our government. We hate cops because we're angry with our taxation situation. So who gets it? The messenger. Stop killing the fucking messenger. Cops don't hate you. Cops put their lives on the line for you. Now, granted, there are some bad cops and there are some nasty organizations that are out there, like you know, our buddy Donnie Rumsfeld's secret police he's got running around who do extra legal activities. Okay, they make me a little concerned. But some sheriff who uses resources at his disposal to write you a letter. Now, if he found out where he lived, showed up at her house and kicked her ass, yeah. But he wrote her a letter. Okay, that's all he did. He wrote her a letter because she crossed the line in calling this guy, you know, leaving personal slanderous remarks, hurtful things to say that upset this law enforcement official. Was he over the line? Sure. Was it against the letter law? Probably. Should it be prosecuted? I don't fucking think so. It shouldn't be prosecuted any more than this broad freaking out and slandering the guy in the newspaper. Now, this thing with tasers, which is what all this is based on, is that if the cops don't have tasers, what do you suppose they're going to use? Given the choice between being nightsticked, okay, and being tasered, I would rather be tasered. Because being nightsticked fucking wrecks you for weeks. Tasering can kill you. Very small chance. Your nuts can twist into a little knot and you'll die. And I don't think cops should be tasering five-year-olds for having tantrums. I don't think that should be happening. But when on the street, if people do not listen to what the police say, the police have to be able to drop these fuckers. And maybe getting a taser in the side of the head will show you, hey, maybe you should listen to the cop because he's a cop and that's his job. I think there should be more fucking tasers handed out. Shit, I think they should go John Woo with the taser and have one in each hand. They would definitely clean up the streets. We're the first ones to say, oh, criminals are out of control. But nobody wants to give these cops any tools to fight the fucking criminals with. Yeah, sure, we got a law passed in Florida where some son of a bitch breaking into your house can he can redecorate the lawn with his intestines. That's fine. I'm all for that. Okay, I think that there should be a little bit more force used by the cops when dealing with incidents. Okay? I think that if they're going to do investigations, yeah, you have to regulate these things because they're fishing then. Any investigation, they're like, we're going to find these. Okay, you're looking. You're looking. There's certain rules you got to run by, all the rest of it. But when they're on the street and it's on asphalt, okay, and they're not just sitting behind a desk going through records, they've got to have the tools at their disposal to do some good and to get some of these fucking drug-dealing crackhead shitheads, okay, off the streets because the law system ain't doing shit for it, you know. So what are you going to do, especially in Canada, okay? In Canada, it's way out of control. Don't even get me started with Canada. Because we should be getting some of these guys who are really dangerous in jail for some time versus these people who sent some spam and they get 9 years in jail. Our legal system, notice it's not a justice system, it's a legal system, and it's a profiting almost industry, is so fucked up. It's very, very disheartening for those of us out there who remember a time when you were safe. Now, let's move right along. How about the banks getting along with law enforcement and the terrorism? I love it when, you know, the banks stand up and say, we're doing our part. You know, yeah. In August 2001, U.S. officials were scrambling to hunt down two suspected terrorists who arrived in the United States. A month later, two men were among hijackers in the September 11th attacks. Dun, 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 dun. Which there's huge questions on the September 11th attacks, drawing into question the entire validity of the entire September 11th investigation. But be that here nor there, let's just get past that. Knowing the names of Khalid al-Midar and Nawaf al-Hazimi has not been enough. Had officials known that men in the U.S. bank accounts were using debit cards to pay for hotels, they could have worked with banks' high-tech computer system to track the pair and maybe avert their attacks. What kind of moronic shit pump would use a bank card when they're doing a terrorist attack? I ask you. You don't even have to be educated to know that you'd be paying for everything with cash, or you'd be using assumed ID or a fake credit card. Which, for someone with the connections that the Al-Qaeda has, it would seem to me pretty fucking obvious, unless, of course, they wanted to leave some kind of paper trail that would prove that these were the people who did it. Come on now, use your fucking brain. Even the people out there in the world right now with no military training, people who watch some movies, if you were going to do a massive terrorist strike, would you use a debit card? Would you use a credit? Well, I'm committing suicide. Who cares? But dude, you're committing suicide because of your organization. Okay? If you're planning something like that, you want to take as many steps as you can to prove that you're not going to get fucking caught. Or your people aren't going to get fucking caught. So you want to let not people know where you are. You know what I'm saying here? You want to make sure. So why were these people... I think it's more alarming to me that these people were using bank cards to pay for the hotel. But that's okay. But back in the summer of 2001, nobody had heard of financial tracking. What kind of bullshit is that? In the summer of 2001, nobody heard of financial tracking? What the fuck is that? That is a lie. That is a blatant fucking lie. Financial tracking, I mean, go rent sneakers. That shit's been around for years. Years and years and years. The guys, go talk to the guys at 2600. They'll tell you they know about financial tracking at least since the early 80s. Christ, I know I have. Today, this little publicized technique, which is everywhere, that marries financial systems with nuggets of specific intelligence from the government is one of the most valuable tools in the fight against terrorism financing, blah, 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 helping officials track down militants, watch their moves, and thwart attacks, officials and experts say. Who the fuck are these people? These officials and experts who want to look at your bank records so they can decide that because you bought some Paladine Press books that you're a terrorist. You bought Alex Jones DVD. That makes you militant. You bought some army surplus gear, military paraphernalia. You're all militant. Even though you bought it at the Gap, it says camouflage. Therefore, you're militant. What the fuck? This has gotten so crazy. The spin has hit such high RPM. I cannot believe the bullshit that they are selling to everybody. And what's scarier is that everybody's just swallowing it. Nobody. I'm it. I'm the fucking guy. There's a few more out there. I mean, there's great people out there like Alex Jones and stuff like that, George Norrie, all these guys who are getting up and saying, whoa, dude, whoa, things are fucked up. Of course, George is far too classy of a man to stand on his mic, on his forum, up on Coast to Coast there, most popular nighttime broadcast in the world, okay, in the civilized world. The guy reaches like 30 million fucking people, okay, and even he is standing and saying, you know, I think the core politicals are messed up. Alex Jones, conspiracy theorist extraordinaire, but no one will call him wrong, okay? He's screaming his lungs out, too. And I'm over here in the counterculture corner trying to add my voice to the chorus, and so are you by sending me all the news reports and supporting this program. But doesn't it strike you as slightly disturbing that no one else has stood up and said, hey, what the fuck is going on, man? It's kind of getting past the phase where we want to be nice about it. It's kind of getting past that whole point where you go, whoa! What is going on? I mean, really, it's really, really getting late. And we really, really need to take steps to make sure that not only we, but the people we care about and those who are too stupid or too drugged to know what's going on, let's not just throw them by the wayside. Let's look after our neighbors. Let's be our brother's keeper for just a little while. I'm not saying you should tell them who they should have sex with or what they should do in the bedroom. But I think if you see someone breaking into your neighbor's house, I think that everybody's got a responsibility to swing on by, bring the old combat katana out, and go have a word with the individual who happens to be alleviating the television. Maybe, you know, there's certain advantages to losing that TV, but it's not his fucking TV. And if people just started to look after each other a little bit more, just a little bit more, if everybody just gave a shit about their neighbor, think about that. If you just gave a shit about your neighbor, gave him a card. You know, hey, you know what? The world's a scary place right now. Wanted to make contact. Make sure you guys are okay. And let you know that if I see anything happening around your house, I'm going to let you know. Or I'm going to say something. You know, something little like that. And you sign it, you know, because that's what WOGs do or whatever. A little bit of PR. A little bit of grassroots PR. Where all the WOGs, you know, maybe they make some cookies. Normal cookies. Not pharmaceutically enhanced cookies. But maybe, you know, handed them out to some people. Talk to people in the neighborhoods. Let them know that, you know what? Just because I have facial piercings, just because I got some tattoos, just because I shave my head, just because I wear army clothes, doesn't mean that I'm your enemy. I'm scared too, and I hope that we can keep our neighborhood a safe place. Is that a little bit manipulative? I don't think so, because we're not trying to sell anything. We're trying to do all the same shit that all these crazy psycho church groups are doing, only they got an ulterior motive where they want their soul. So if I think we could get the WOGs doing shit like that, or the cyberpunks doing shit like that, rather than always being all brooding and listening to Insane Clown Posse at mass decibels and freaking out their kids, what if there was a way we could start to build a little bit of community unity again? Wouldn't that be nice? Just a thought, just a random idea I will cast out into the vastness of server. Now, speaking of the vastness of server, let's talk about surveillance. Let's talk about surveillance that's scary, and let's talk about core political surveillance. Paul Eden is a dude involved with core political surveillance, and he loves his job. It takes him into people's homes and offices and allows them to film their daily lives. Eden heads Ogilvy Field Branch Investigation, FBI, a division of Ogilvy and Mather, one of the world's largest advertising agencies, which makes them the devil. He's commissioned by companies to provide video research of consumers, providing vital insights into their likes and dislikes. Wow, you're the devil! Since launching the research unit in London 5 years ago, Eden says interest among big corporations has spiraled. The real bonus for clients is that they can eyeball people who are important to them. Totally violating any privacy that I thought I had. This is the way we can invite the consumer into the boardroom. Come on, get me the fuck out of your boardroom. You try to put me in your boardroom, I will wig out. These natural social environments are natural brand environments. Respondents are more willing to talk truthfully about themselves when offered the opportunity to seeing them interact with brands and play with brands too, which is, of course, enormously appealing. There's nothing underhanded about Eden Works. Fuck no. How could there be? Hidden surveillance? What's underhanded about that? All his interviewees are willing participants who've given their consent to be filmed. Sure they have. But that's a legal requirement to being pushed to the limit by new technologies. Well, yeah. Now, if you put a small sign up that's the size of a business card on a pillar in a parking lot somewhere, that site says notification that you're being filmed. And furthermore, just because you say it's okay, that doesn't mean it is okay. If somebody says, hey, I got a needle here, it'll cure you of all your diseases. That's what the experts say. And you shoot them up and the stuff's poison and it kills them. Was that okay? No, it was not okay. No, it was not okay. People are not going with the spirit of law anymore. People are no longer following along with the guidelines of good taste and morality and ethics. That's fucking gone. There are no ethics left. It's history. If you mean to tell me that you believe that ethics exist in the modern business culture in any format, especially within the multinational arena, there's no ethics with these people. Cut the shit. That should be dropped completely from university because it's definitely not being used in the business field. This is some cosmic hand job to make us believe that somehow these multinationals that are murdering people in third world nations have some kind of ethics. Yeah, little Emmanuel there, he pisses in a bucket while he makes your Nikes. But don't you worry. Don't you worry. We got business ethics. Don't piss on my back and tell me it's raining. There's no business ethics out there, you naive bunch of bastards. You trying to tell me that you're going to talk about, oh, we respect the consumer's privacy rights. Fuck you, you lying piece of shit. These people are totally lying, and they know it. They know it, but because it's accepted, nobody says anything. Everybody just kind of goes, well, you know, that's the game. That's the way the game plays. That's just the way it is. Some things will never change, you know, and that's just life. And if you can't deal with that, then I guess you better get, can't stand the heat, get out of the fucking kitchen. Kiss my ass. Okay, I'm sorry. There are ethical ways of making money. There is ethical business out there. All you got to do is not lose money. You just got to decide not to make more money by profiting on other people's suffering. This is the big, you know, and it is not a naive stance. This is not a hippie, you know, idealistic Noam Chomsky-inspired stance. It is inspired by Noam, sure. And there's a lot of great thinkers out there who would go along with this kind of thing. But don't step to me about ethics, talking about ethics and surveillance, when you've got countries that are murdering people and burying toxic waste in farmers' fields and arresting farmers for gathering seed. Don't talk to me about ethics in the business world, because there are none. And anybody who says there are business ethics in the business world, if they say there is any ethics in the multinational world, they're either A, lying to you, which makes them in the enemy category, or B, naive as fuck, and they don't want to believe the truth, which makes them, you know, someone you want to talk to, or C, they just, you know, will not believe. They will just, because people will do that, they'll hide. No, it's not true. Well, and you'll show them unrefutable proof that it is true, and they're like, no. And they freak out. So you got to watch that as well, because some people get a little bit mentally unstable when you show them that the world is, in fact, not as friendly as they once thought. So that's something you want to be aware of. Now, in the land of warfare, the shittiest warfare imaginable is not nuclear warfare. That's actually rather quick. Well, actually, it's part of it. But nuclear warfare in itself is not the scariest. It's not even mine warfare, which is, you know, really lovely and murders lots of children years after the war is over. People are still finding bombs from the Second World War. No. I'm afraid of nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare. That's where you're running around top high with your gas mask on, sweating, losing 3 liters of water every 4 hours, and generally having to shit your pants because if you take your NBC gear off, it'll rot your ass off. So you're running around with shit in your drawers trying not to die due to your environment. NBC combat is scary as hell. Hell, I do not want to be involved with NBC warfare. I have been trained in NBC warfare, and let me tell you, I'm not really into the atropine shooting up, okay? I'm not so much the junkie along that field. Now, in that industry, though, it seems that we do have a new weapon against it, which is a cotton, a nanoweave of cotton. Check it out. Cotton, the fabric of your life, could soon have the potential to save it. Science at Texas Tech University Institute of Environmental and Human Health on Monday unveiled a new composite cotton fabric they say will protect against biological and chemical agents. Very cool. The fabric, developed with the U.S. Department of Defense in mind, also brings fresh market to cotton farmers in western Texas, the nation's largest producing region of cotton. "We are the first to bring cotton into the natural defense arena," said Sashradri Ramukar, the researcher at the institute who developed the fabric. "This is a big thing." Well, that's cool. The non-woven fabric is exactly the type of Defense Department placed in its decontamination and science technology strategy, he said. A thin piece of carbon is encased on either side of the non-woven cotton. The fabric can be used to wipe to remove dangerous contaminants from a variety of surfaces, including human skin and intricate equipment on fighter planes. The fabric is lightweight, soft, and flexible, and able to be draped on unusually shaped objects. The material neutralizes and absorbs toxic chemicals used in chemical warfare and pesticides. Other uses could be inner linings of a protective suit or a jacket. "This is a win-win day for Texas Tech," said U.S. Republican Randy R. Lubbock, who attended the news conference and announced technology and its licensing to the Texas company. "It's a win-win day for the American people." Now, the military uses a cloth made from carbon, which leaves skin and other surfaces dirty. And I've seen this stuff. It's kind of weird. It's like charcoal. It's like a big tray. It leaves dust everywhere. It's kind of wild stuff. "The fabric passed tests for bacteria, yeast, fungus, and mold, but has not been tested for anthrax or other potentially biological agents. So it's still a bit of vapor, but it is a new product. An enzyme specifically targeted on particular agent can be applied. Once it's been tested for nerve agents, we're sure it can save lives," Ramakur said. So it's kind of vapor. They do have it, but they don't know how good it is. We'll have to see how it is. And you'll find new technology, new drugs will come out and be like, "Hey, we got this new drug!" Even though, you know, Vioxx got taken off the market, now another one got taken off because those dangerous drugs that we thought help people don't help people. And we show just one little test shows us help some people, so we sell it, make billions of dollars, and then kill the public, you know, and then we take it off the market again, which is what happens. And these pharmaceutical companies just go blissfully along, waltzing through the universe like some sort of cosmic Betty Burke. And yet no one seems to stop them because, of course, they have the lawyers. First, you get the drugs. Then you get the money. Then you get the power. And that's what these corporatical, multinational, pharmaceutical motherfuckers are doing. They're trying to kill us. When, quite obviously, every day in the background, more and more information is coming out about natural alternatives which can do the same thing that these pharmaceutical companies do for free. For example, yet another story about what? My buddy marijuana. Yes, it's true. Weed saves. The main active ingredient in cannabis protects arteries against harmful changes that lead to strokes and heart attacks, new research has revealed. Scientists believe that THC or similar cannabinoid chemicals, why don't you just use the THC rather than the cannabinoid chemicals because they're not patented, this has been obviously filtered for core political use, could in future provide new treatments for heart disease. But they warn that simply smoking cannabis does not offer the same benefits that may actually damage the heart. So it might damage the heart. Smoking, don't smoke it. But cannabis is good for you, but don't smoke it because that puts it in your bloodstream and your blood goes to your heart. You wouldn't want that. You want to, you know, inject it or use some chemical-treated way to put it in. THC or Delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol is known to affect the brain and make it cannabis users high. But new research shows that it has an influence on blood vessels. A study of mice reveals that the compound blocks the process of inflammation, which is largely responsible for narrowing the arteries. It also decreases stress. Inflammation combined with fatty deposits produces obstructive plaques, a condition known as atherosclerosis, which can block arteries to the heart, causing angina and heart attacks to the brain, leading to stroke. Now, this is the part where I say that I do not believe that high school children should be smoking weed. I'll say it again. I do not believe that high school kids should be smoking weed because it makes it hard to formulate new... It interferes with your neurological process when you smoke weed. So unless you are, you know, you don't want to learn anymore, you know, really, you want to make sure that you're not doing a lot of drugs, okay? Don't smoke weed if you're in school. Wait till you're out of school. That means university and everything. Wait till you're out of school before you start messing around with this stuff. Furthermore, a lot of people go, well, Sean, are you telling people to smoke weed? I'm not telling you to smoke weed, but if I think you have a glass of wine and a couple of puffs, and I do mean a couple of puffs, once a week, I don't think you're going to be shooting up with heroin in 6 months. Call it me. Maybe I'll go way out on the limb and say there could actually be some health benefit to that, because I've got overwhelming amounts of evidence that show that there could be some real health benefits to casual usage. But hey, who am I? I'm not a doctor. Don't sue me if you wreck your life. Try that demon marijuana and then next month you're shooting up. Give me a break. How high do you got to be to believe that? Never mind anything else. Less privacy, more searches. Just what you wanted to hear. The Justice Department investigators nearly doubled the rate at which they used the controversial new search and seizure power that allowed under the USA Patriot Act during the past 22 months. According to data released by the Bush administration yesterday on the eye of congressional testimony by Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, formerly called the delayed notification searches, which means that we don't need warrants. The warrants known as sneak and peek because they allow investigators to search a person's home or business and to seize property without disclosing for weeks or months that they were there. Although investigators must convince a judge there is reasonable suspicion. Reasonable fucking suspicion? That the investigators would be harmed if the subject were notified. The judge has even denied a request for those searches. Although the warrants are codified under laws enacted to fight terrorism, they are not limited to terrorism investigations. And according to the Justice Department, the investigators have increasingly resorted to the power since the Patriot Act became law shortly after September 11, 2001. The Justice Department said yesterday that the power was a valuable law enforcement tool for a, quote, wide spectrum of criminal investigations, including those involving terrorism and drugs, end quote. Great. Once again, quick tally. How many terrorist attacks have happened since 2001? How many? Cricket. None. That's right. There's been no terrorist attacks since 2001. And the 2001 terrorist attacks are up to some debate. So, not to really hammer this point home, but does any of this seem just a little bit too fascist for you? Could it just be that our government, God forbid, is trying to enact this new world order that everybody's freaking the fuck out about? I put it to you that it's quite probably possible that they are. I mean, come on now. Now, with technology, I'm very excited about the new types of technology that are coming out, like nanotechnology. Very, very cool. Lots of benefits there. But again, with technology, let's not be too quick to adapt. Let's wait for that shit to be out of beta, shall we? Especially when we're introducing nanites into your body. Nanotechnology, a science devoted to engineering things that are unimaginably small, may pose a health hazard and should be investigated further, warns a University of Rochester scientist and worldwide expert in the field who receives $5.5 million grant to conduct such research. Wow. Dr. Gunter Uber-Dorster, the Uber doctor, PhD, professor of toxicology and environmental medicine at Directorate University of the EPA Particulate Matter Center, has already completed one study showing that inhaled nano-sized particles accumulated in nasal cavities, lungs, and brains of rats. Ooh, nasty. Scientists speculate that this buildup could lead to harmful inflammation and risk brain damage of central nervous system disorders. Jesus. Uber-Dorster's study is scheduled to appear in May 2000 Journal of Inhalation Toxicology and received widespread attention in the scientific community. It was cited International Nanotechnology / Health Conference earlier this year in England by Institute of Physics. I'm not advocating that we stop using nanotechnology, but I do believe we should continue to look for adverse health effects, says Uber-Dorster, who leads the UR Division of Respiratory Biology and Toxicology. 60 years ago, scientists showed that in primates, nano-sized particles traveled along nerves from the nose and settled in the brain. But this has been mostly forgotten. The difference today is that most nanoparticles exist, and the technology is moving forward to find additional uses for them, yet we do not have answers to the most important questions of the possible health impact. Backed by a $600 million in recent federal funding to support President Bush, nanotechnology is a rising industry in the United States, Japan, Taiwan, and other countries who are also racing to produce nanomaterials, but we don't know if it will fucking kill us, which can be applied to electronics, optics, medical devices, and other industries. Now, when you have reports coming out showing that cell phones are causing problems with people's heads, you've got to wonder why no one is going to be coming forwards with nanotechnology information. Because we already know the cell phones are cooking our brains, so is it a great leap to suppose that maybe they'll put nanotechnology out when we know that could hurt us too? I put it to you that it can, so it could be up to you to make sure you have hands free which goes through a little magnet so you don't nuke your head, so you can avoid brain cancer. Just an idea. Just a thought. Now, for those of you who like to know how bad war can get, I draw your attention to Africa, which is why you want to avoid war and avoid the eventual degradation of your culture into massive civil war, because there's no difference between Africa and the United States. This could happen here. Militiamen in Africa grilled human bodies on a spit and boiled two girls alive as their mother watched. This is what the U.S. peacekeepers are fighting. Cannibalism has been added to the list of atrocities allegedly carried out by one of those tribal groups fighting in Northeast Democratic Republic of the Congo. This area is suffering the world's worst current humanitarian crisis, where a death toll outstripping that of the Sudan strife-torn Dufar region. UN Emergency Relief Coordinator Jan Egeland said on Wednesday, "In terms of human lives lost, this is the greatest humanitarian crisis in the world today, and is beyond belief that the world is not paying more attention." Of course, you know why no one's paying attention? Because they're brown people, and there's nothing there that will spawn international interest. The diamond mines? Well, they're all owned by corporate politicals anyway, so who gives a fuck? And they've got their own private military. As long as these people are killing each other off the bush, nobody cares. It's about the dollar, and don't think that it's not. The Congo became a battleground for six nations during 1980-2002 war that killed 50,000 people directly and another 3 million through strife-induced hunger and disease. But sporadic fighting continues in the lawless Northeast to this very day, and there's cannibalism going on over there. But of course, no, we don't give a shit about that, and why should we? After all, it doesn't affect us, right? Even though we've got people invading our own country in Arizona, we don't hear anything about that either, though. But hey, let's be watching Michael Jackson. To help you keep in touch with people, one of the greatest tools you can have is the IRC. It enables you to communicate with the Rant Forums, or not the Rant Forums, but it allows you to get onto Rant Radio on the channel there. There's all sorts of ways of doing it. Go to the Rant Media website. Go to Rant Radio. You can check on how to get into that forum. It's always full. There's like 100 people there all the time. It's a great place and a huge resource for information. The IRC is a very, very powerful tool. But now, thanks to those good, wonderful hackers on the internet, it seems that you can have IRC on your PSP. And here's today's daily hack brought to you by Dead Code, which will give you just that. Welcome to PSPIRC.com. With this script, you'll be able to access IRC from within a Sony PSP. Because of its simple nature, you should be also able to use it on most feature-lacking web browsers, i.e. phones and PDAs. And best of all, it's free! So go there, check that out, and make sure you can hook into the rest of the online community to pass along more information freely without regulation, because that's really what it's all about. And that's all what I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow. Make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast. But it did have some cost, and it was brought to you by the generous donations of Forley, Dave, The Great Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melican, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, R. Darmu, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Alan, and the new subscribers, The Reinforcements. The seventh mobile who came in this month to help us out were Druid Y, Samaru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. Now, if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air and stick a knife in the core politicals, please visit rantmedia.ca, click on the donate tab, and go for the 39-cent solution. That's what I say. If you can't get up there and vote from the rooftops, you may as well vote with your wallet. Special thanks to some hard net runners, the Flying Monkey Army, who brought me these news stories due to their amazing ninja recce skills. Ricky Rocket, Valerian, Kwami Kozalot, Sergeant Tibbs, Ronan Sariet, who's the shit, Visage, Maverick, who's also the shit, Rue, and Blue Sphinx Knight, Nalos, Rainstreak, all these guys are the shit. No Delete, Madar, Nightfall, Gemini, Dead Code, and Phoenix, thank you so much for sending me that information. And if you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you check out the album Utopia by Observe and Control. Very cool album cover. And I'm going to leave you now with Amazing Grace by the Dropkick Murphys. So until tomorrow, that's what server said, end of line.